And I suppose the realization that a bank will lend you almost, well, in my situation, was able to lend me over 100% for that property, and knowing that that investment and that's is sitting there in the background is an absolute aha moment that you can then continue to build on.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors, find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategy. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, I'm speaking with Jeff Miles, whose passion for business and commerce through school led him to work in both the public and private financial sector while building his portfolio in his 20s. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. Miles is a Sydney-based mortgage broker who's been involved in both investing and banking over the last 7 years, and his pursuit of traveling took him to his sixth continent last year.
The reason I went to Africa was that I've been to 5 other continents, so Africa was, for me, the final frontier. And for me, the continent has fascinated me from sort of, I'd say, teenage years. And from the sense of the wild nature and perception of the place, and just the diversity as well, and going to a place like Egypt, having studied ancient history in high school, as well, just the history and the natural beauty of the place is amazing. I would recommend, and it's relatively safe as well. Look, you have to be aware of where you're going, and that's important. However, yeah, it's a place I would highly recommend, and there's a lot to see and do there as well.
So, what's involved in a day-to-day life of a mortgage broker?
Generally, weekdays wake up at 5:30-ish, depending on how many times I hit the alarm button. And then what I do is I have a morning routine that I follow, which is from the Miracle Morning, which is Hal Elrod. So I do that, do some exercise, meditation, affirmations, those type of things. And then what I do, get to the office and help enabling Australians to either increase their property portfolios or helping owner-occupiers buy their dream home as a mortgage broker. So that can involve calls, it can involve going to meetings and all those types of things. And even on weekends as well, we're certainly a broker generally doesn't stop working. So that's emails, calls, meetings, all that sort of thing.
As busy as he is, Miles continues to find opportunities to work even during his social events.
Opportunity doesn't sleep. Is a cool quote I like to use around that. And look, I suppose it starts to creep into other areas of your life in terms of, look, I was at a property event last night as well. So it certainly, I'd agree with that very much so.
Growing up, his passion for business began to develop even during his school life.
So I grew up in the western suburbs of Sydney in a small little place called St. Mary's. Well, it's not that small, but probably a lot of people would be familiar with it. It's 5 minutes from Mount Druitt. And yeah, so I grew up there, born in the late 80s. So I'd say the 80s is probably the best era. Originally went to the local school and then went into local school from 7 to 12. Went to a selective school, St. Mary's Senior. I'd say that was quite influential in that. So I studied business studies and that's what motivated me to then go to study a business degree at the University of Western Sydney, which is now Western Sydney University. So I studied business and commerce degree there, finished that off in 2011, a 3-year degree.
After graduating, Miles gained the experience through various roles and overseas ventures to land in his current broking career.
I was able to secure a graduate role with the tax office, and that was in their business management side of things. Worked there for a year, fantastic people work there. However, I wanted to explore the private sector, so I went to go and work in BT Financial, which is a subarm of Westpac, and thought I wanted to be a financial planner and reevaluated that as I sort of worked there for about roughly a year, and then went to go and work in risk and compliance at Macquarie. A great place to work, enjoyed that, was a contractor there. And this year has been a bit of change. I went across Africa, travelled for 5 months, and was able to cash flow that out of my work and a few other ventures, and came back in August and have now been a broker for close to 3 months now.
An ingrained habit of saving was the key tool he used to support his overseas adventure.
Basically, I'm a fairly good saver. Again, that's part of my upbringing. And I grew up with, had a single mum as a parent. And look, I was able to save up in the vicinity of between 25,000 to 35,000 from my day job. And also there was I was able to hold my property as well, which is cash flow neutral as well. So it was mostly through the employment, and I mean, look, there was a very small amount from some small investing, but that was non-real estate related.
After his life-changing overseas experience, Miles was able to appreciate his own circumstances and utilize this in the mortgage broking business.
I really was able to appreciate what we have in Australia and the opportunity that we have here. And also taught me that irrespective of your situation, like, I was able to meet a lot of people in local areas and in countries such as Ghana, even somewhere like Kenya or Tanzania. I was able to meet people and they had business opportunities, and they were hungry, and they had that drive and desire, which I suppose has translated back to when I've come back to Australia and is now working relatively well for me as a broker. I've always had that, but that hit home, that point on, number one, our opportunity, and two, being able to make the best of your situation as well. And it was pretty great to volunteer as well up in Ghana for about 4 weeks as well.
Inspiration from his studies at high school and his values as a first-generation university student drove him to pursue his passion for business and eventually investing.
I suppose for me, I was the first person who went to university on months on family, and you have that very much, I'd argue, blue-collar mindset of work hard, go to school, get good grades, and then go and get a job. How that translates to my property journey, I've always been interested in business, and that was influenced, as mentioned, from high school. My high school studies business studies teacher. And look, I suppose it was around that 16 or 17 where I started to look and say, okay, I really like this idea of business, and the snowball from there, and around the sort of 21, 22 sort of stage, that's where I started to say, okay, look, I'm very interested in this, at least financial planning, and then I sort of drilled down. So it was about sort of 22, 23 where I started to really investigate the property. In terms of in my family, there aren't a lot of property investors in my family. Have owned a very much mentality of pay a house off and get rid of that debt, and debt can be a bad thing. Was always taught to save and pay your bills on time, all that. In terms of investing, started sort of teenage years and early 20s.
Shortly after leaving university, Miles has his first experience in property investing.
I suppose to carry on from when I first started back in 2012 or 13, I was originally very keen to purchase a place in Mount Druitt, which was across the road from the Westfields, 5 minutes walk from the train station there. And I could have been able to purchase there for low 200s. And right now, that could have been worth, would have been worth about 350, upwards of 350. That was, you could argue, the one that got away. So my first my first venture into property and my first purchase was in 2015, and that was in May 2015. Bought in a place called Zilmere in Queensland, and with the assistance of a buyer's agent.
After missed opportunities, local area, what motivated Miles to explore the Queensland market?
For me, I've heard the story of the Queensland market and had seen it mentioned from probably 2013 onwards, and I've seen that the prices in Sydney, especially in my local area, St Mary's, sort of the Penrith and Blacktown district, steadily go up, and then around the 2015 mark, that's when it really really was heating up, and prices were, so I thought there was far too much competition in that particular market, and that I would have potentially overpaid. So that's why the Brisbane market offered a bit more affordability and was more of a buyer's market at that particular time, which is the projected growth of that area was predicted. So those were the key driving factors to look at that market.
Coming up after the break, Miles takes us through his lowest investment moment.
It was a combination of us probably being a bit very naive and not doing the research behind the scenes, taking what we were told at face value, and overcapitalizing on the renovation as well as
his major investing successes,
and I suppose the realization that a bank will lend you almost, well, in my situation, was able to lend me over 100% for that property.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners. If you're finding this podcast super informative, then guess what? I'm giving you an exclusive free case study from property investors like this one, just for listening. These case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific strategies and numbers of their portfolio. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Now back to the show. While investing in property has its advantages, Miles is keen to explore his investing options in the future.
I suppose property for me, you're able to generally get a higher leveraged asset, which then can potentially increase your returns. Again, it's a double-edged sword. So either way, if you were to buy in Karratha or somewhere like that, or a mining town, you may. And there's been a few stories out there about that. So I suppose to me, it's the leverage and the leverage / potential return. And for me, I'm happy to talk about this later. It's not a property or shares. For me, what I'd like to envision is a property and potentially other asset classes as well. But I suppose property, given the leverage, that was naturally the one that I looked towards first.
So, what was the most challenging experience Miles has had in his career?
It wasn't the one that I purchased up in Queensland, which I still hold. There was actually a joint venture renovation flip that I purchased up in Newcastle in early 2016, and basically we purchased it. I'm happy to share some numbers. We purchased for about $303,000, and were approximating it would sell for between 410 and 420. Look, and on that one, the numbers did look quite good. We ultimately sold for 386, and look, I mean, you can probably do the math on that. But looking at potentially a $20,000 gain each, went to losing about $4,000 each, which to me, while I would swallow argue for me is the lowest of the low in my investing journey. Look, it certainly is something you can take a lot of lessons from, and yeah, there's plenty of wisdom you can take from that as well.
Breaking down what went wrong is all part of the learning experience.
There was a couple of factors, and I'm happy to share on that. And it it was a combination of us probably being a bit very naive and not doing the research behind the scenes, taking what we were told at face value, and overcapitalizing on the renovation as well. So there was probably the three factors I would say is needing to sell the property, given I was going overseas and it was part of the particular our strategy to sell. Overcapitalizing, so spending too much on the renovation, instead of spending approximately 30, we spent around $50,000, which then eats into your profit, and also not evaluating the local market enough in terms of speaking to real estate agents and understanding realistically what the property would sell for, rather than being told an inflated figure, if that makes sense.
Along the way, both Miles and his partner learned several key lessons as investors.
We did part ways in terms of we haven't done another joint venture renovation together. It was very amicable, and I did a lot of the project managing of it. He was more of a silent partner. So in terms of what we discussed in terms of learnings, we discussed as we were going along. Those were our learnings that we each took from it, and we discussed what we could do in terms of potentially keeping the property, which if it was a viable option, we may have considered. So we certainly discussed and took a lot of learnings out of it. And part of ways very amicably as well. There were no horror stories or anything behind that in terms of one person wanted to sell, the other person didn't want to. It was discussed and very amicable. And from that, what I would say is if you're going to get into a joint venture, it's important to be able to have a fairly solid understanding of can you work effectively together if something doesn't go right? Because if you're not able to, then it, I'm sure, and I've heard stories of it, it can get quite messy, and so that communication up front is vital.
Are there any other tips that you could recommend before jumping into joint ventures or renovation deals like the ones you've done?
The due diligence is absolutely vital. We did very, very fundamental, very basic due diligence. I would highly recommend actually speaking to local real estate agents for this particular project. And I suppose any investing, if you can get an on-the-ground type view of and perspective as to what's happening, that can only improve your investing decisions and outcome as well. So due diligence will be number one. And I suppose number two, being probably a bit more flexible in the exit strategy, which is a subcategory of your due diligence. But if you can, coming up with plan B and plan C, if plan A doesn't go according to as you would expect it.
Breaking down his most recent experiences, Miles shares his best moments of success in his investing career.
This year has been an aha moment for me in terms of that investing, and that's been a combination of reasons why, like being able to get into broking and to understand the lending criteria. I suppose the aha has just been on the multiple ways in which you can continue to invest, despite not necessarily always having a lot of deposit. So traditionally, and over the last three to five years, I've been able to develop in terms of how to get the strategies. I suppose the aha moment was, to be specific, to nail down to the moment, is actually settling on that first investment property up in Queensland. And I suppose the realization that a bank will lend you in my situation, was able to lend me over 100% for that property, and knowing that investment and that is sitting there in the background is an absolute aha moment that you can then continue to build on, or in my situation. So it's, I suppose, the concept that you can borrow, and it seems quite basic, but I mean, for people who may not have the experience in investing, that's an aha moment for me. And then to then continue to learn and get the knowledge.
The self-discovery and personal development he experienced as a result of his successes is something Miles looks forward to develop in the future.
I suppose for me, I can be a bit impatient. So I'm sure as a lot of entrepreneurs slash property investors sort of would be aware of. And I suppose it's having that knowledge or having that understanding that sometimes you do need to be patient. And it's a balance between being patient and actually going out there and making something happen. So I'm learning. It's a journey for me. But spending that time overseas this year has really hammered home that lesson for me. And I suppose being clear and being accountable for yourself have been lessons this year that I've continued to keep improving on as well.
So, inspired by this story and what Jeff Miles is excited about, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode on Property Investory Podcast, where we'll talk about how to apply his strategy.
Look, it's relatively cash flow neutral. Look, that was part of the strategy. I didn't want it to cost me too much. And ultimately, longer term, I'd love to see some capital growth in it to then continue to purchase.
Ways on how he overcame fear when it came to property investing.
It's been really important to understand reach out to mentors, have that education, and you can have that through a variety of multiple sources that I found, and that's been really useful.
And that's next time on a future episode of Property Investory. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send out exclusively via email, then head over to propertyinveststory.com and subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com to receive your free case studies. Thanks for listening.